It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And welcome to Alaska Realty Today. And we're very fortunate to have George Stefan in our studios to talk about platting and the platting board.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, George, for coming in. And sure thing. I think I pronounced your name Stefan and Stefan. Oh. And so,
oops, I'm sorry.
Either way, I'm sure, as long as I didn't call you late for lunch. I think we were talking about new construction and
one of our last episodes.
Yeah, one of our last episodes. And so last week we had Ryan for Three Tier on, and I think at the same time that's when we said, hey, we should probably have somebody from the borough on and just talk about some of the things that could come up when somebody's thinking about maybe buying a subdivision, subdividing a subdivision. And then, of course, you and I have worked together on the platting board. Well, you'd be in a platting officer, me and anybody on the platting board. But we can see all the weird stuff that comes through. So all the quick plats are, you'll probably tell us what, give us an education on what a quick plat is, but all the weird stuff that comes up, the right-of-way vacations and all that. It's been a while. I haven't been on the planning board in a while, but I'm sure you've seen all sorts of crazy stuff several years over there.
Why don't we start, first of all, what platting is, because not everyone speaks the language that you two do.
Yeah, and I'll defer to George, but yeah, if you want to give us a kind of a layman's, what is platting, what's Title 17, what's the borough do, what's your involvement, that's good call, Lisa.
Yeah, sure thing. So first of all, platting is basically the subdivision or even reconfiguring, replatting lots. And so while you're required to go through the borough as platting authority, it's required both by state law and it's required by our borough Title 17 subdivision ordinance. And, you know, really the important thing there is you're creating legal lots then by going through the borough as platting authority. And, you know, Kirk, you remember the days when Bill Mendenhall was on the platting board with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the platting authority goes back to pre-borough times when it was the Greater Fairbanks Platting Authority, and that's when Bill Mendenhall was one of the, you know, the original
that's
platting
right.
guys. So, yeah, platting is essentially subdividing. Yeah.
Perfect.
And that's how people can prepare a new subdivision, which we're starting to see again because, as we know, building has increased since we really haven't seen a ton of it in the last 7 to 10 years, but really in this last 24 months, we're really starting to see new areas develop, especially in the North Pole area. And this is, we see people buying larger tracts of land. So, and that's an indicator we have stuff coming down the pipeway that they probably aren't just buying a big piece of land for fun.
So can you tell us what type of things that you see at the borough from a platting prospect? That the layman might, you know, in layman terms, what do you do? I mean, I guess if you're not a savvy developer.
Or a seasoned builder.
Seasoned builder, you're thinking about, hey, I might want to buy 5 lots. Hey, I think I might want to combine a couple lot lines. I'm just thinking about building. What kind of considerations do they have to give?
Right. So, you know, oftentimes we'll see the case of, say an older couple who owns a nice 5-10 acre tract and they're looking to maybe set aside a parcel or two for their children, and we do see that quite
right.
a bit. And what we encourage is to come in and talk to us in a pre-application setting, you know, before you lay down any money with a surveyor, before you pay us any fees. You know, it's our job to try to guide you at least in those initial phases and then really through it all. So with that, we'll come in, we'll talk, you know, first of all, does zoning allow your lot to be further subdivided? What's the minimum lot size? What's the access like? Maybe there's already constructed access where all you need to really do is carve out that extra lot. And so we'll hit the big items there. We'll definitely want to look at, do these lots have legal constructed access? And we see quite a bit of that. It's pretty neat when folks come in with that intent just to set aside something for their kids, and we like guiding them through that. We also provide a nice big old list of area surveyors so they can reach out to someone if they don't have someone in mind already.
Do you see anything else involving real estate sales that come through? You know, that's the purpose of coming to y'all or coming to the platting board or to replat or quick plat or?
Yeah, you know, the hurry up, let's get it done calls are when, unfortunately, what happens is when that plot plan shows up and there's a realization only then that maybe there's an encroachment on their neighbor's lot or maybe they're within the setbacks. And so, There's a number of ways to cure that. Say with a setback issue before coming to subdivisions, maybe you can get a deviation or de minimis or even a grandfather rights through zoning, but you can reconfigure yours and your neighbor's common lot line to correct that encroachment. And we can do that through the quick plat process. We understand time is of the essence. You know, it is the government machine, so it can take a little while. But sure, we understand that folks want it cured quickly.
Yeah, but go ahead, Lisa.
Well, sometimes do you find out that they might notice something on their plot plan and everything has already been addressed from a block standpoint where there's already been, oh, we realize there's this problem. And we've run into it sometimes in the older neighborhoods of Fairbanks. That's already been addressed, so it's not that scary thing. You just need to come and talk to the experts, and they'll say, yes, someone's already done the paperwork. You're good to go.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Lisa, because we first want to look at, hey, you likely have grandfather rights, meaning when that lot was created, it was back when there was unrestricted use, and right, so no concern. So it's a... In fact, it's a very easy thing for free to reach out to our zoning folks, and that may be the case. So, right, I shouldn't put people into freak out mode right away.
Go and talk to the experts. Do not panic.
So if somebody's listening to the show and they're thinking, hey, I've got two lots, I want to make them one lot, or I have one lot, I want to make them two lots. So what's the process?
Right.
Come talk to you.
Yeah, I would say that it sounds like a quick plat, and we do have an abbreviated plat is what it's known as at the state level, and the borough calls it a quick plat. And that's for, let's see, a movement or elimination of lot lines resulting in no more than four lots. Mm. You're not dedicating any right away. You're not building a road. And so those two examples you gave are a great example of a quick plat. And quick plat hearings occur twice a month with the application submittal deadline roughly about a month prior to that. And so it is something we see quite a bit, and oftentimes it is just as you're describing. Maybe they're shifting a lot line. Maybe they're creating one into two lots, and we can get those through more quickly than going, say, through the platting board, which is a major plat application.
Because we've had an experience that buyers have purchased their home, love their home. The lot next door was empty, and the neighbor next door owned the lot. And then they say, hey, we're moving to the lower 48. Do you want the lot? They just want to protect that lot and include it in their house, and they want to have that property as whole. So it's not really that complicated. That kind of transaction is not overly complicated. You're not seeing the entire platting board, most likely. Most likely. There always can be those little hiccups, but... It's pretty simple and something some people can consider. It gives them resaleability. It's really nice for them to have that larger piece of land guaranteed for that home.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, I completely agree.
And it's not scary.
But it's also nice to be able to, you know, if they have a big lot, and sometimes, you know, most lenders consider anything over 5 acres excess land, so a lot of them want to chop off after 5 acres and then, you know, parcel out. And they can usually garner more money if they sell two lots separately or a house with a lot and then piece off the other one or give somebody the first right of refusal. So often we see people that actually want to, you know, divide their, and you set up to four it's considered maybe a subdivision at that point, or?
Right. You know, so if the result is four or fewer lots, whether you're eliminating lot lines or creating lot lines, whatever the resultant is, if it's four or fewer, then you can go through the quick plat process, provided you're not looking, say, to a variance from title or dedicating right away. But yeah, you know, we've run into just what you've talked about where, say, somebody has a 10, 20 acre lot and they realize they're going to sell it. And it's like, what? 15 acres, essentially, I'm getting nothing for. And so they'll look to carve out that single lot with the residents on it, say a 5 acres, and then, you know, choose to do what they want with the remainder tract. But right, that way, you know, if in the future they want to come back and create a full-on subdivision of that remainder tract, we do see that a good bit.
Okay. Over the last couple of years, have you had new developers come on board? Do you get many people that aren't, you know, brand new to developing and say, hey, I just bought 100 acres and or 50 acres and I want to subdivide and help me through the process? So if somebody's listening to the show and they're like, yeah, hey, you know what, a couple years ago I did pick up some land and, you know what, I'm getting ready to subdivide it, but I don't know what to do. So obviously come see you. But what would be the process? I guess we could probably spend 5 days talking about the whole process. But if this is where they're at, they're going to come see you. You're going to walk them through. Are you going to walk them through Title 17? Are you going to?
Right. What we'll do. So I'm with the Department of Community Planning, the Platting Division. We also have the Planning Division. You know, the first thing is to reach out to us, because the idea is, you know, we work for the citizens of this borough. And so come to us and we can at least lay it out what you're looking at. And that's in terms of getting somebody in that meeting also from the zoning side, our transportation guy, as well as a platting officer like myself, and just lay out the bare bones. Hey, here's what you have. Here's what you can do with it according to our title. And normally with the brand new developers, like you mentioned, there'll be a couple pre-application meetings, you know, as they go back and think about maybe a conceptual design, come back to us. And then usually then is when we'll recommend, well, you know, once you get with a land surveyor out there to help you through getting more into the weeds of your design, what are those lots going to, you know, be laid out as? And especially if road design comes in, because the borough doesn't provide the, say, professional engineer or land surveyor to take care of that design. It's the applicant who's reaching out to our local area surveyors and designers.
So you're probably going to direct them to Title 17 and say, hey, you guys got to check this out. And I know the land surveyors are going to be savvy in this. They're going to know what grades things need to be and what the right-of-way sizes are and blah, 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 blah. But it's, yeah, so that's probably the first thing to do, is that you're going to get with a surveyor. And like you said, just think about, okay, well, we need to have access. We need to have legal access. We need to have, you know,
emergency vehicles need to have what's required. Because I remember when you were on platting board, that came up a lot. It was emergency vehicle access for fire trucks and so forth. That some of the roads weren't conforming or did not work for the service providers. They couldn't, first responders couldn't use the roads that were there. I remember you talking a lot back in the day about that.
Generally, when we got it, I mean, the boroughs have gone through it. George has gone through it. You know, platting officer's gone through it. So they've gone through it up, down, left, right. It's been many months, if not years, that it's been in design, and it's come to us for something quirky or something weird or variance or something. So, but I think that initial design is just so important, what that layout is going to look like. Hey, you know, you can do 20 lots at, you know, around 2 acres each, and not worry about septics and all the other things that come into play that we sometimes hear concerns from citizens. Real quickly, I'm going to tangent real quick, that I had a question earlier for quick plats. Are you needing to notice the neighboring lots for quick plat, or is it just is it on stuff that comes to the platting board?
Great question. So DPOs or deer property owners are not required when it comes to quick plat applications. You know, the hearing, which, by the way, all of our public hearings, including the administrative hearing in which quick plats fall under, the clerk's office is who organizes those. So the advance notice the public would be given would be in the daily news minor with the, you know, the legal ad for the agenda. But no DPOs for a platting application of the quick plat variety, whereas a major plat, like for you and the platting board at that time, sure, we send dear property owner letters out to the adjoining lot owners.
Okay. No, it just made me think of that. So one more time, I've already asked this question once, but anything that's going to be, if you're taking a lot and it's going to be
Kirk is talking with his hands on the radio right now.
It's going to be over four lots. We're talking, again, is it considered a subdivision?
It is. Okay. You know, whether that's reconfiguring lot lines, mm-hmm. it's that resultant, because you're in a sense subdividing that you're taking away from one property and creating something else out of it. Even if it's a 2 into 2, that's a replat kind of subdivision thing, but you are reconfiguring lot lines. And so a quick plat is what we see the most of. Normally every administrative hearing, twice a month, we have 2 or 3 quick plats.
And then when we come back on that note, I just maybe talk about what does come to the platting board. What are the weird things, the variances, the evocations?
And also maybe you want to mention a little bit about this mystery Title 17 that you guys are using so that everyone understands what Title 17 is and what that means to them. People are jumping around to sporting rules and everything in their mind right now, I have a feeling.
Right.
So when we come back, we're going to touch a little bit on that and also on the rest of the discussion about replats and what you can do. We'll be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion about platting and maybe mention a little bit about this mystery Title 17 that you all talk about so freely.
Yeah, Lisa made the joke. Yeah, people are probably driving down the road thinking we're going to be talking about NCAA sports or something. So, you know, that's good, Lisa. I appreciate you asking for that clarification. So, so you talked about the borough has different titles. Title 17, Title 18 is zoning. And,
right.
But, yeah, what are the titles and what is Title 17?
Great question. And it's always a good reminder to, like, that's right, you know, I live in this. So right, Title 17 is the borough's subdivision ordinance. You know, basically our Bible that through all the planning authorities going back, way back when, these rules have been adopted. In fact, in the territorial days, it would have been the legislative laws pre-statehood days, I should say, that really formed much of this. And so over time, different assemblies, we've seen ordinances that amend or add to Title 17. And yeah, it's basically our subdivision cookbook, just like Title 18 for borough code is for zoning.
And a lot of people think, well, especially people that come from the outside, they're shocked by our lack of rules, but we do have some rules, like, because they're, you know, they want the traditional codes and all that. But we do have some rules and things we follow. So, and the Title 17 is a big part of that for our community.
Yeah, and it seems to work well for most people. And I don't know if I did, 9 years, Lisa, on the platting board? Mm-hmm. And I just, it didn't seem like we had that many contentious subdivisions.
I can only remember a few handful you'd come home with after all those years that would be something contentious.
We did some 2 in the mornings, but it was. I mean, you guys do your homework. You guys go through these applicants and applications thoroughly. You give your recommendations, and you guys don't just willy-nilly throw stuff out there. So it's
and also the borough attorney gets involved, too, because, like, what – who was, when you were on, it was someone I remember that was always reviewing the documents too that you are referencing, the borough attorney.
I think, well, for me, my perspective was she was there to make sure that we stayed in line, that we were following Title 17. And, you know, generally they don't tell us this, but, you know, I usually think if they're making recommendations when it comes to the planning board, then I tend to follow it unless there's some compelling reason that I learn from somebody on the board or from the public why not to follow it. Otherwise, it's there for a reason, and I usually roll with what the The expert, the planning officer says so. So borough attorney, I shouldn't say doesn't
her.
Do much, but I think
remember
she's
you
there
mentioning
to
her a lot. That just that she was yeah. getting your documents ready.
Early on, I remember I had a contact with the public on an item that I wasn't supposed to, and so that I learned early on that
Kirk got in trouble.
That's a no-no. That's kind of what she's there for. So what kind of stuff did come to the plating board? I remember, but maybe you can tell the listeners what kind of stuff doesn't go through the quick plat process.
Right, sure. And, you know, with what you're just saying as well, Kurt, you know, a big hats off to the local surveyors, engineers that do the design work. You know, we're the review, the quality control, but those are the folks that are really making it happen out there. And so it's a really neat combination. I used to work for Richard Hyron for about 5 years, RCH Surveys, before this. But as far as what goes to the platting board, you know, a subdivision that involves more than those four lots I mentioned, if there's new roads being created, both dedicated to the public and constructed, that certainly is a major plat that goes to the platting board, because then you're getting the input from the borough engineer as far as their review, and then, you know, recommendations to the platting board. And some of the I'd say the most serious sorts of requests that go to the platting board would be public right-of-way vacation, when somebody wants to vacate, you know, something that the public can use, whether it's a street right-of-way, section line easement. And so, in fact, section line easements, this local platting board, the platting authority, is only really the first step. If they recommend approval, then that is required by state law to go to the state of Alaska for that full-on vacation of, a section line easement or an RS-2477. Other things that go to the platting board, if someone is looking for an exception or an exemption to code, which is called variance, they need the platting board's approval, essentially, for that reason. Well, why can't you follow title? And oftentimes there are great reasons. What is it particular about that property that, say, you can't follow Title 17? And due process certainly allows any applicant to submit a variance to title, as well as to move their application to the platting board.
Yeah, and it just seems like you guys were just so well thought out. You guys did your homework, and you guys were just unbiased, and you make clear, concise reasoning on why you recommend a variance or why you don't recommend a variance. And so just for me, it was, I mean, the 2 a.m.s could be a little lengthy, but I know we've voted.
This was years ago. We've gotten rid of that. I think there's no 2 a.m.s anymore.
Right. But I just remember it was relatively easy, because you guys did all the hard work, and we basically took all the information, listened to it. We would have a discussion between all of us, listen to public testimony, and then make a decision. So,
and there is time for public testimony, because I would go to a few of your things, and people would be concerned about some of the things that were being discussed, and there's time for the public to voice their concerns and have their documents. We've seen a few realtors come with their people and
sure,
present.
I've been there on that
we've
side.
Done
yeah.
it. We've done it, and there is an opportunity for people to say, hey, can we look at it from this direction? And everyone listens and tries to make the best decision and follow the rules at the same time.
But, yeah, and I would say just to stop Google or Ask Jeeves or whatever you're using.
Ask Jeeves. Okay. I know. That's a really old reference.
Bing. But take a look at Title 17, and just you can educate yourself, too, even prior to going to see George or somebody in Platting Authority, and just learn about the process and, what steps you're going to have to take and what laws you're going to have to follow. And after they go through the design process, they're with an engineer, how deep do they get with that? I'm thinking of a new developer, somebody who's just listening to the show and trying to get their feet wet and do this for the first time. So how deep do they get into that? They talk about the road grading and the...
Yeah, that's it. To begin with, if you're in the cities of North Pole or Fairbanks, those standards are of a higher standard than, say, the borough regular Title 17 regulations. And so we will certainly defer to those standards. And oftentimes you're going to have municipal sewer and water, so those lots can be smaller, which is huge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when it comes to outside the cities, the grades we're looking at, say, maximum grades on a street section of 10%, you've probably been on roads where as you go into an intersection, it's a really steep grade and you can't quite stop. Well,
yes.
You know, those might be earlier approved roads. For instance, now within 100 feet of that intersection, it can't be greater than 4%. So there are reasons we have these requirements in title.
And this is all good for the new winter drivers to our communities, because it is, you know, when you get on the backside of the hills, it can be, you need to get used to that, the older roads, you need to prepare to stop way before you get to the stop sign.
And Ryan mentioned last week on the show that he...
From Three Tier.
Yeah, from Three Tier, and he mentioned grading, you know, different grades, and then he got a hold of a fuel company and asked him for... A couple different addresses on what is...
He was looking into actual driveways because there really wasn't a standard, and he was really wanted to get a better understanding of what works for the different providers that have to use the driveway. And the oil companies pretty decidedly so said that 23 to 25% is sort of their max, and that gets a little... Well, imagine this is a very large pizza truck. I mean, but he's doing this hasn't really been studied that much, and so he's doing a sort of a layman study, a surveying level study of what works for the water delivery companies, the oil companies, and that's really their max, and that's what they really would like to see properties sort of head towards, especially with the new building that is happening, to make it simple and safe for everyone. But it was really interesting to find out that it would go, that seemed very steep for me.
Yeah, and you could, I mean, I'm hearing that, and that's twice, right, the maximum grade for a public road. So that is interesting. And right, you know, for subdivisions, the borough doesn't regulate driveways because, you're on private property then. We're all about the public road.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, driveways. But it was something that sparked his mind. I think he might even mention something with the property near him and something. And so he just sort of poked into it and started... seeing what was working for them, what wasn't working for them. And it gives them a baseline because they do design driveways for properties. And so it sort of gave them a goal of what would really work on some of the new things they're looking at.
But 23 degrees is probably intermediate skiing, so it's...
My excursion park's at the top of those driveways, and I walk to show the properties. I don't take my big excursion down, no. That is not something that happens.
And so I know we need to wrap up here soon, Lisa, but... I know there can be different phases, especially if it's a more complicated. I can think of the one that when the Target was going to come on board off the Johansson there. I remember that being a four-phase subdivision that kind of got stalled out there and for different reasoning. But they can be complicated too, and so I'm sure those guys are...
Well, and that was very large. I remember you talking, those were the 2 a.m. Like, you brought a lot of paperwork home, and that was all going through.
Yeah, those are a little bit more complicated. But if you're listening to the show, you're thinking about touching your lot lines, you're thinking about doing anything, subdivision, please look at Title 17, Google it. Please go up to second floor of the borough and before you do anything, like George smartly said, before you lay any money down, they'll give you some guidance. They might meet with a couple times if you're newer. And then you can get with the surveyor and start getting some guidance from there. So, George, thank you so much for coming today. What a great education on platting and subdivisions.
Very quick education.
I know it's quick. I know we could talk forever, but thank you. Appreciate your knowledge.
Oh, you're welcome. And Lisa and Kirk, always a pleasure. Thanks for spending the time.
Everyone go enjoy their Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Media Active production.